Hey everybody, Editor Frank here, and I'm trying something new with this one. I've decided to add additional transitional music in between our bigger topics. I believe this will make it easier for you guys to find the timestamp part in the show notes. Please let me know what you guys think about this over on social media. Do you want the additional transitional music? Does it help you find your favorite spot? Does it help break up the episode? Or would you rather have those out of there and just keep the conversation as natural as possible? Also, over on Threads, Twitter, Instagram, and alike, we're talking about the latest X-Men episode that came out today, the day this episode released. So let me know what you guys think about the episode, too. I'm pretty excited about it. All right, hope you enjoy this. Have a great day. Hey, y'all, welcome to Geek Freaks. I am Frank, and I'm here with Jonathan.
Well, hello.
Today, we have a nice and short one for you guys. We're going to be going over some April Fool's stuff, Sam Raimi, some Star Trek news, Pirates of the Caribbean, and more. Jonathan, how you doing lately, man?
I am fantastic. I can't complain. We had a good Easter.
Yeah.
A good time.
You hosted nice. Easter this year. It was pretty crazy. A lot of people coming to your house.
A lot of people. Yeah. I still got some cleanup to do, but yeah, we're good for the most part.
Yeah. It was fun. It was good. Yeah. So as for the network, guys, we have a brand new interview that just released from Alex Schumacher. A fantastic book that he wrote that we went over. Challenge Accepted is entering A24 month. So all month long is going to be A24 stuff. And we're going to be giving away an A24 hat. It's like this hat you see directors wear all the time. We're giving away that hat. And then over at Who's Got Next Game podcast, they're going to be doing their Wii tournament over on Headlines. We've got new stuff coming out every day. And we just came up with the watch list for April. So, and that's my personal podcast. You guys can check that out. You could subscribe on podcast platforms and, of course, TikTok, YouTube, and Reels. All right, John, let's go ahead and get right into the news. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
We're going to be starting off with, it's the beginning of April, and as for a person who shares the news, April Fool's Day is annoying as hell. Because it's like, is this real? Yeah. This looks too funny. It's too cool. But I thought we'd poke fun at it a little bit, too, and we'll go over some of the video game companies that released April Fool's things, and we'll go over them. Before we get into that, do you remember any of your favorite April Fool's jokes that have been told in the past?
Not specifically. I remember growing up, our brother Miguel, he would always, every year, you knew it was April Fool's because he was the one trying to plan something. And it would be crazy things like, you know, something caught on fire or, you know, somebody got hurt at work or whatever. But yeah, nothing too convincing.
I was talking to the parents last night and mom was asking dad, like, did they do the April Fool's? Because, of course, he loves doing them. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, no, thank God he's been busy all day. The dreaded Miguel's April Fool's. My favorite is the Pokemon Company, which they did another one this year, but they released a collaboration. This is all April Fool's stuff. A collaboration with like Google Maps that they're going to be releasing this thing where you can catch Pokemon anywhere in the world. The April Fool's joke was so popular that they decided, like, we should make a game that actually does this, and that's where we get Pokemon Go.
No way. I don't know why I didn't hear about that before. Yeah, that's
Pokemon
amazing.
Go was first an April Fool's joke. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Okay, we gotta think of some other good April Fool's jokes that companies can be like, wait a minute, I should make a game because of that.
Well, let's take a look at what came out today, or it came out this week. So IGN worked with Nintendo on the branding to announce Virtual Boy Pro, which we had a Virtual Boy for a second there. It's this old school, like early 90s VR. And when I first woke up, this is the first thing I saw, and I was like, this doesn't seem right. There's no camera on the back of this. And what it is, you strap the Switch to your face, like 2 inches from your eyes. And then they showed basically becomes the Apple Pro VR and stuff like that. And I got to say, it almost had me. It was pretty decent.
Yeah, I guess they got to put a disclaimer so kids aren't doing that. I'm sure it's not great for your eyes if it's made to be 2 inches from your face.
Yeah, as soon as you stop to think about it and you're like, there's no cameras on the back of the VR, so they can't do the pass-through that it was showing. And that close to a Switch, they're not high definition enough to actually be functioning.
Yeah.
Pokemon Company strikes again. And for them, they have that Pokemon Sleep, which kind of tracks your sleep cycles and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And you saw this one. Can you explain it to the folks?
Yeah. So it's setting up this like tournament that's going to be a Pokemon tournament. But it's like everybody's, you know, at the same, this big arena kind of thing. And I was kind of getting excited. Like I was watching it very seriously, like, oh, I might have to watch this tournament or see, you know, some kind of Pokemon tournament. I don't know. And then once it gets to the end end of the trailer, or whatever, you realize it's a Pokemon sleep tournament. So everybody's in these little pods or whatever on a stage kind of thing, or whatever, trying to sleep. And it's like competing about their quality of sleep. I wasn't sure. I was like, is it who can stay asleep the longest or you have to stay in this pod and
You start to believe it too long.
Yeah, I'm trying to make sense of it. I'm like, I don't get it, but yeah, you know, it's Pokemon. I'm going to watch it anyways.
I tell you, I wanted to start training. I thought I could compete. Right? I think I get it. I'd go bust up the Snorlax.
I couldn't. I can't stay asleep if my life depended on it. That's bad.
Some days I'm out like a rock. Sometimes it's hard to get asleep, but once I'm asleep, I'm good. Yeah. Until the dog, if the dogs wake me up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, then I'm like, screw it. I might as well get up and get work done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Elden Ring, so clever on theirs. Mm-hmm. So they posted a video out, and it's like the intro to a trailer that says Elden Ring expansion. And it's just like, oh my God, they're announcing a new expansion. And then you're watching the trailer, and it's like doing the zoom in like you'd expect, and then it just keeps zooming in and zooming in, and it keeps expanding.
Dang.
Okay. And it's just like, you suck. That's so good.
You get people so excited. Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077, a massive game. Is releasing their this is all April Fools again, releasing their game on floppy disk, and it's like 250 floppy disks to get that game available on all the floppies.
Man, that would be, but to go along with the April Fools joke, it'd be funny if they just made floppy disks that had the logo on it and stuff and just sent them out to anybody who, you know, entered the raffle or something like that. You know, all their members, that'd be hilarious.
You know what would be smart, like I almost want it, is like a floppy disk that has a USB on it that actually is a real USB drive. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, just like the floppy disk is so iconic, that look. We use it still as a save button on computers, is the floppy disk.
I wonder what you can make a floppy disk to do. You could have a floppy disk that like holds your credit cards and stuff.
That'd be a cool wallet. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I've seen people make them into coasters.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, cool. There you go. Bring back the floppy disk. Sega announced that. I love how they pitched this too. They said, no more DLCs. We're bringing out CLCs, cartridge loadable content, and they're bringing cartridge video games. It's like a new invention for cartridges. And they showed like Sega Genesis cartridges. Like, this is a brand new technology. You don't have to load anything.
Right. Hey, show the next generation. They'll be like, wait, what? It's not in the internet. Like, I can have a physical copy of it that I can keep forever. And if the internet goes away, I'm still able to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it used to be.
Razer, who makes like everything right in front of me, my mouse, everything, my keyboard and stuff like that. Yeah. They announced the Razer Cthulhu. And I tell you what, if this was real, I might be buying one. It's basically Doc Ock arms that go behind your chair and is like feeding you Pop-Tarts in this hand, giving you soda in this hand so that you could focus on gaming the whole time.
Nice.
That thing would sell for sure. I'd know I'd probably be a purchaser myself.
We have the technology.
And lastly, Power World, which is basically a Pokemon clone. Announced a dating sim where you could try to date your Pokemon, essentially, and got to catch them all and try to date all your Pokemon. So they have a full trailer that looks super realistic, like this is a whole new game, but it was fake. And when you know it's fake, it's good. But man, it did fool me off right off the bat with that Switch VR. So it got me good.
You know, anything that comes my way will fool me. I've sent you movie trailers, TV trailers. Like, wait, is this real? Like, you have to be my filter now because I just believe whatever comes through. And it's like, no. You notice these are all clips that have reused from one of the previous movies.
Yeah,
they just added a little bit of audio or something. I was like, damn.
My favorite was when you sent me Iron Man 4, and I'm like, Jonathan, we would know Iron Man 4 is in development way before our trailer would come out. We'd be talking about it for 2 years before that trailer comes out.
I was like, oh, this is the big drop. Like, I heard about it with everybody else for the first time.
Yeah.
But the backstory in that trailer was like, oh, that's a pretty cool way to do it, though. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it was, what's his name that he'd created?
Hammer?
The bat. Huh?
You talk about Hammer in the, or no, Tony Stark?
Ultron. Ultron kind of took over Tony was resurrected through Ultron in a way.
They should bring Ultron back. He's a fantastic villain, and they barely touched the surface of how good his character can be.
Yeah.
I think he's underutilized. He should come back.
It's time.
He's in the first season of What If. They did really good with him. All right, let's go ahead and get into some of the news here. We have Happy Gilmore 2. They're making a sequel for it. Christopher McDonald, which is Shooter McGavin, is the one that confirmed this. So I'm assuming because Sandler has a contract with Netflix, it's going to be a Netflix first movie. I'm digging this, like, this is the era of movies where we thrived, right? This is going to be simple comedy. It doesn't have to win an Oscar. We don't expect it to. Just give me a few chuckles. I'd be happy with that. What do you think?
Yeah, we talked about this last episode too, that like we've seen plenty of reboots, but we're also now starting to see more of these late sequels that I think have been pretty much nailing it. Like, especially if you don't set the bar super high, because sequels are usually not as great and a late sequel is super detached. It does, you know, it's not going to have the same hype behind it that it would if it came out the year after or whatever. But, you know, it's a classic that we all like. You know, mm-hmm. everybody who likes Adam Sandler movies loves this movie. So it's like, of course, it's going to do decent, if not great. So that's exciting to see they're, you know, continuing to do that. Pretty cool.
What other movies from this era do you think deserve a sequel? I'm going to jump in with Little Nicky. I don't think enough people gave it a shot.
Oh, yeah. I love
Little Nicky. Little Nicky was fun.
It is hilarious. I mean, almost all of Adam Sandler's movies are hilarious. Yeah. He's got a style. The movie, when you say that, what jumps to my head, like Judge Dredd, it's been redone and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
What is it?
Demolition Man.
That too, yeah. Okay. But Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
Ah, for real.
Right? Like, bring that back. That'd be so good.
What a slam dunk.
That would be, it doesn't have to be a sequel. It could be a reboot. I'm fine with that. But, because I don't know if he's acting anymore.
He doesn't even need to. He's so freaking stinking rich. But yeah. Give him a little bit of cameo. Make it to where you see Shaq in the background doing something. That movie was better than people gave it credit for.
Oh, for sure.
It was fun.
If they were to make it again now, they'd be like, well, this is just an Iron Man copy. No, this was before Iron Man.
Yeah.
Maybe back then they were copying comic books. But
comic book wise, it was before Iron Man. I know before people opened the Twitters, but.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, Little Nicky, I think, would be really good. And then I'm thinking Eurotrip. Eurotrip is actually a super good movie. People maybe don't even know about it because it's kind of like a teen thing or whatever. But it's a good movie. But now they would all be parents, maybe trying to like rekindle the fun and going on a Eurotrip. Like, I'm going to try a weed gummy. I hear these are weak and it's really strong. You know, like back in the day they used to smoke.
Terrible Bosses kind of vibes is what I'm thinking.
Horrible
Bosses.
Horrible Bosses. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good one too.
Yeah.
But Happy Gilmore 2. I'm excited for this. You know, Adam Sandler's just hitting it out of the park lately. So I'm down to watch it for sure.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi spoke out about these rumors that have been going around. We talked about them ourselves about a Spider-Man 4 with Tobey Maguire. And he says that they haven't talked to him at all yet. And if they haven't talked to him yet, it's not going right now. But he did say he's open to work with both Toby and Kirsten Dunst again. But Marvel hasn't reached out to him. But he is on a good working relationship with Marvel because he did Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. And he said that he wants to work on a future Avengers movie, specifically Secret Wars. And I think he'd be very good for it. He's a hell of a good director. Jonathan, at this point, I think I don't need Tobey Maguire to come back. Or Andrew Garfield, for that matter, actually. I think I'm fine with, like, let's just stick with who we have. Why keep revisiting the old stuff? I want to see Miles Morales at some point. I want to see Silk at some point. And I think Tom Holland is killing it. And as long as he keeps wanting to be Spider-Man, let's let him do his thing. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problem with it, though, if they wanted to have like two separate, you know, worlds going on. I mean, because like the whole Sony divide also, like Venom isn't necessarily, well, yet, it might happen soon. But Venom isn't necessarily in the Tom Holland Spider-Man's, there was a teaser that might be bridging over now. Because then I was thinking, well, if you keep Venom in a separate universe, have Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield or whatever, it could be one of theirs and it'd be kind of contained. But yeah, I mean, I liked him in the Multiverse of Madness. I think they did a great job with that, but that could be a good hanging point. Like that could be, end.
Spider-Man No Way Home. You're talking about Tobey Maguire? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Right. Doctor Strange was in it, though, John. I don't blame you for getting mixed up.
Right. But yes, I think that was a good way to say bye to the two of them.
Right.
But if the fans want it, I mean, as a fan, I don't think it's necessary also, but I would watch it if they make something. I'd watch it anyways.
Me too. It's not like I'm not going to watch Tobey Maguire return to the role. I do think he's going to return, actually, for Secret Wars. I think kind of the rumors or the easy layup would be, you bring back everything that's ever had Marvel. The old Blade, Wesley Snipes Blade, everybody comes back for Secret Wars. They sacrifice themselves to reunite the one. It's kind of a DC Crisis on Infinite Earth move where you make it to where there's only one planet after this, only one multiverse after this. And afterwards, that's when you could get a new Iron Man or whatever, because it's like, oh yeah, he's an Iron Man that was in this universe. Now he's in ours.
Man.
And everything makes sense. That's how Miles Morales joined regular Spider-Man, Peter Parker, I should say. I think we're gonna get one more Tobey Maguire, and I think that's just perfect. Secret Wars, I don't need him to have his own string of movies.
And I think they had to be careful about how much superheroes they bring together, because I know we've talked about it before, but a single superhero movie about, you know, the struggles and, you know, the limits of someone's power and their backstory and stuff, like you create a value in that hero, but if you just put a bunch of them together and they all have so much power compounded, it's just, it makes them all watered down. You know, the standalone Thor movie is great, builds up who he is and everything, but then you throw him in the middle of all these other Avengers and he's no longer a god. He's just one of 20 guys that got a, you know, a good power and ability to fight, but it kind of brings him down a peg and everybody else, you know, at the same time. So
It also throws off the stakes too. Cause like when Spider-Man's by himself and he's, you know, he feels like a hero that could die or could lose the fight for New York City, the stakes feel real.
But and when he's worried about a person, like a single person dying, somebody falling off a building, that's, oh no, you know, he's going to be heartbroken if he doesn't catch them in time. Yeah. But when he's with the Avengers, it's, oh, it might be a million people that are dying and, you know, 1,000 dying in the process is expected, but the million we need to save the city as a whole, right?
Yeah. And I love the Loki series, but if we look at the Loki series as an example of how things can get too far, I mean, every time they prune a branch, that's billions times billions of lives that are gone, right? This entire universe that's gone. Man. And they were doing that left and right in that series. And so eventually the series shifted to like, oh, hey, we should stop doing that. We care about these people. We'll find a way for it to work out. In comparison to Spider-Man worried about just Aunt May or something like that, it's tough to balance. How do you have Spider-Man and Loki stand next to each other in a battle now? One person has seen trillions of lives come and go. The other one's worried about saving the neighborhood cat. You know, it's weird. Yeah.
And pruning the branches is still confusing to me because it's like, are those separate lives or are they just separate possible lives? You know what I mean? When somebody makes a different choice and they go two different directions, now there's two of them, but are there two physical beings that one can get killed and the other one survives? Or are they two different opportunities and you make that shift of, no, they decided to go left. They decided to take
great
the blue
question.
Pill.
Yeah.
You know
so what I mean? Essentially, if you're going with like the actual multiverse theory, the idea is every choice that comes up can go one or the other, which then that choice, you know, it branches infinitely. So that would be infinite multiverses. And that way, yes, there's a different lives for everything.
But by going left or right, you create a second entity, a second person.
Okay. And the second there's another choice that comes up for either one of those, it does it again, does it again, infinitely. Okay. That's the multiverse theory. Now, as for in Marvel, it's a little bit more finite because it has to be a Nexus event, which is an event big enough to turn it one way or another.
And it's pivotal on a Nexus being, right?
I believe so. I'm trying to figure out how it is in the comic books versus how it is in the series, but I think so. Yeah, generally. A Nexus being in the comics is like Scarlet Witch, somebody who's the same in every universe no matter what, because they basically supersede it all. It's complicated, and after Secret Wars, it won't be. It'll be one straight line, and we might have a new Iron Man at that point, which it sounds like, by all accounts, it'll be a new Iron Man.
Have they talked about who they might cast for Iron Man?
We're talking like 2032 kind of thing. That'll be a little bit.
Which, it's a long time from now.
It's not that long. It'll come up quick. I mean, nowadays it's crazy that like Iron Man came out in 2008. That's so long ago. It's a little crazy.
Yeah. Jeez.
Other franchises that are continuing to expand, Pirates of the Caribbean is confirmed to be being rebooted. They want to stay. It's got Jerry Bruckheimer still as the producer and stuff like that. And they're wanting to stay loyal to the old franchise, the vibe, the fandom and stuff like that, but and they were originally trying to use some of the old cast, specifically Johnny Depp, but they decided there are way too many hangups trying to continue with the old cast, especially Johnny Depp, and it's best to just reboot it all and start anew. And so it sounds like it's not going to be retelling the Jack Sparrow storyline or anything like that. It's just going to be more Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm kind of happy to have this franchise back. Frankly, I like the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. They're fun. I'm a pirate fan. Me and Daniel both freak out about these movies and watch them together. Do you think this is a good time to bring back the Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was great when, you know, we watched it before with Johnny Depp and everything. And if they had the chance to bring him back, I'm sure it would get some views. It would, you know, get some attention. But we've, you know, kind of been there, done that. And so I think it is the time to restart and not even have the same, you know, not the same story, but not even the same vibe. Like, you know, it needs to be kind of fresh. I think what's good about, you know, starting with new cast and stuff like that is you can broaden it a lot, because in the old Pirates of the Caribbean movies, he is the star without a doubt. And it's all about him. And then everybody else is just kind of a straggler following him around. But if you rebrand this and start over a little, you can have a team of people and follow different adventures in different places And, you know, every once in a while they come together, they, you know, cross paths and stuff, but it doesn't have to be one, you know, person that's leading the whole story.
I think in that first movie, they didn't intend on him being the star. I think it would be Will Turner, right? Because it's all about him and, you know, finding his true love, yada, yada, yada. But I think Jack Sparrow was so captivating, so freaking cool that he stole the show. And then after that, when they were like, oh, here comes sequels and stuff like that, do we need Will Turner? Like when they did, I think it was Pirates of the Caribbean 4 is the first one without Will at all. And it was like, that's fine. We have Jack Sparrow still. The side character, essentially. The Han Solo, you know, they're really going to base everything off of him now.
Yep.
I want to stick with this vibe, but I remember at the time when it was coming out, there was one point where you were complaining that there's no stakes because it's a very Disney movie. And while there's a lot of adventure and swashbuckling, nobody's getting sliced or stabbed visibly. Do you think they should stick with that? Have we matured to a point where we could start showing that and children would be okay? What do you think?
Yeah, being that it's still going to be Disney and they're not going to change that because it's literally in their park, so they're not going to you know, rebrand a ride or anything like that. So I think they're still going to keep it family friendly. If anything, they might go a little more family friendly.
Really?
A little less. Yeah. You know, maybe the new cast is going to be teenagers and it's going to be more Peter Pan-esque is what I'm thinking.
It better not. No.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't think they'll go darker and more edgy. It's mainly because it's going to have to be for families with kids. But I wouldn't be opposed if like HBO bought the rights to make their own version as well, or just made a pirate series that's not related to the ride, you know?
Yeah. Showtime did a pirate series called Black Sails, which I do need to watch at some point. That is a very much mature pirate story. And that might be a good avenue for that. For this, I kind of compare it to Indiana Jones, right? In Indiana Jones, we see somebody get shot, but it's not like blood coming out. We see people get hit all the time and stuff. I think that's a good level as long as you know that, you know, what happened really is this guy died. You know, he fell off a ship in the middle of the ocean or something like that. As for the casting, I don't want it to be teenagers. I want it to stay high budget. And right now, the rumor, according to comicbook.com, is Margot Robbie leading this, who is just Barbie. Sorry.
I mean, I love the female lead movies, but I'm afraid they might push that too far, too. You know, there's been, I'm sure, a handful of bad ones. Black Widow.
Wakanda Forever? Or
no, the something Web.
Madam Web.
Madam Web. I can't even remember the name of it. Yeah. Apparently,
I'm thinking of the Ghostbusters reboot before they did Good Ghostbusters reboot.
Oh, that was just it was just disappointing. Like it was just all right, but yeah. So I don't know. I don't want them to overdo it. And like I was saying before, don't just make a single character the whole story.
Right.
Broaden it out. Have an ensemble. If you bring in a bunch of no-name actors, I think it'll be fine to use this out as an opportunity to build out some new, stars for the future. We see that happen, time and time again when it's something that's known and it's got some recognition. So there's going to be a fan base returning to it. It's a good time to bring in an actor that, has had experience, is a relatively safe bet, but doesn't have a recognizable name yet because, they'll have some opportunity to be seen in this role. So, but yeah, I want to see an ensemble. There should be, and they don't always have to be together like we see in some movies and shows, but I want to see multiple adventures going on at the same time. And then they kind of cross paths and work together sometimes. It'd be fun.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it now. When the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out, Johnny Depp was very much a different actor. He wasn't necessarily, Sweeney Todd's afterwards, all that, he kind of got a resurgence. Yeah, Alice in Wonderland's afterwards, because Jack Sparrow was a big resurgence for his career for a while there. But he was doing, he was still doing a lot of Tim Burton stuff, Edward Scissorhands, stuff like that. I think it's called Murder in the Window or something like that was the one he did right before Pirates. He was super famous, but not super active. And then I want to say Will Turner's character, Orlando Bloom, was fresh off of Lord of the Rings. So he was really only known for one thing. So I'm trying to think of who do we have. Like, I think Pedro Pascal is a great actor, but he's big right now, maybe. So it'd be nice to kind of give a research to an actor that's maybe a little bit retired or a little out of the, like they do the RDJ for, or Robert Downey Jr. for Iron Man,
Bring back Nicolas Cage. He's still out there acting and everything.
Shit all the time. Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be good though. Yeah. Or you also got to cast to the role. You can't just pick somebody who would be fun to see. But I liked Shia LaBeouf back when he was in a lot of stuff. Like,
that's a great example, though. An actor who is a very good actor, and he's just been left to the wayside by society because he's a little crazy. And, you know, hey, let's maybe give him another shot. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Him, he was with Tom Hardy in, oh, God, what's that movie? They're moonshiners.
Oh, Lawless. Oh, God.
Lawless, so yeah. So, put the two of them together on a pirate ship. There you go.
Real quick, I want to say, if you're going to do a female-led pirate movie, it should be on Ching Shi. She's a pirate from China. She had a fleet, I want to say, of, God, I think it was like 10,000 ships at one point. It was the biggest fleet. Like, it took on the Dutch. And it was just a pirate fleet. She was so big that when she was ready to retire, she took her fleet to China and kind of invaded China and told them, hey, I want immunity for me and all my men. And you're going to make me one of the, like, not royalty, but like the ladies of the court so that I can just retire in peace. And she did. And she still did smuggling in the background because she was bored. But like, yeah, she was, so she's amazing. And I remember she like had one husband, didn't care for him, got rid of him, got another husband because she liked him better and just kept rotating husbands. She's a badass character. And I remember, it reminds me of, you know, there was a little bit of the Asian pirates in the original Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but they were kind of at the wayside. It's like they had a huge pirate community as well. It'd be cool to check out.
So I don't know a ton about history and pirates and stuff like that, but what I have heard is that a majority of the pirates that, you know, we tell stories about and see in movies and stuff were military hired by the British, formed by the British for war at some point. I don't know who they're fighting. But then after the war was done, they're like, okay, we're done with you guys. We don't need you anymore. And, you know, left them, you know, I don't know, paid or unpaid, whatever, but with no purpose.
Yeah.
So then they're like, well, how are we going to, you know, survive? We got maybe families back home to feed or whatever. And so they're like, well, if you guys aren't going to continue to pay us, then we're going to take from you. And then they would start raiding ships to steal the queen's gold or whatever they can get off of them. And it kind of snowballed from there, I guess.
Not just the English, but also the Spaniards. The most famous pirate probably is Blackbeard. Edward Teach is his real name. And he used to be for the Spaniards army. And matter of fact, his ship is Queen Anne's Revenge, which is Queen Anne from Spain. And the story I would love to tell. I we're going too long on pirates now, but I love pirates. Thomas knows I keep trying to challenge him to pirate stuff. is the fact that when the United States needed a navy, they hired pirates.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked with them in the past.
Hey, they work for money, right? All right, Frank. Next, you want to get into Star Trek?
Let's do it.
What kind of hot news we got. So, as you know, Star Trek Discovery, the final season, season 5, is going to be airing soon on April 4th. So, we're going to have to say goodbye to Star Trek Discovery. I think it was a pretty good show. What'd you think about it?
It had a good run, you know? And
yeah.
I think the season 2, it was probably one of the best seasons. It probably is its best season, and it started Strange New Worlds, which is one of the best Star Trek. So it at least did that. It had a tough job of basically reinventing or resurging Star Trek at a time when it didn't exist.
Yeah. And since then, they had some drastic choices within the show that kind of took it off the rails. But overall, it's a good Star Trek. It's a good show to watch. If you guys haven't seen it, go watch it. I'm excited to see season 5, though. I'm kind of sad it's going to be the final season of it, but it's okay. It'll be good to see anyways.
Frankly, by the way, if you're going to watch Star Trek Discovery, you could start at season 3. They end up jumping to the future in that season and kind of do the soft reboot within the show. So if you want something completely fresh,
if you're only going to watch it to watch the next season, just watch season 3 and 4 and you won't be too far behind.
Yeah.
All right. So we also got news about Starfleet Academy, the new show, is going to start filming this summer and it's going to take place in the 32nd century. So
it's going to be set,
set in the future past Star Trek Discovery. How do you think that's going to play out? Like, are you looking forward to that? Are you excited for that?
Well, with Discovery, what happened is they go to the future and Starfleet is all but dissolved because warp is taken away. I don't want to go to the spoilers because you guys really should watch it. But
yeah, very little space travel pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then they eventually do get warp back. And so Starfleet's kind of reassembling and becoming a thing again. So I do like the idea of using Starfleet as a way to kind of introduce the principles back into the universe that was Starfleet from before, because at this time, I forget what they're called, but the Orion Syndicate or whatever is kind of out of control. Orion Syndicate is out of control. mm-hmm. stuff like that. So to bring in a new like Bastion of Hope would be good. I just would rather stick to the timeline we already like. Let's go back to pre-Kirk days or something.
And supposedly they're doing this so that there's not too much risk of continuity errors or overlapping with any other shows and making any problems like that. But I mean, thread the needle, put it in between. I like the timeline of Star Trek Enterprise where it's right after our technology and right at the beginning, you know, before next generation technology.
Yeah.
Or I guess next generation. So you know, they're at the cusp. They're developing new technology. There's, you know, political changes and they meet the Vulcans and there's, you know, so much growth and change at once. Like that's the best place to have a new show. That would be so exciting to see more within that range. But I'm sure that they'll do great with this too. It's just going to be far in the future. So the technology we already thought was high tech, they're going to be past that.
There is some kind of ridiculous technology in the 32nd century where there's like the adaptive matter and stuff like that. And
yeah. And their combat is spore drive, transporters.
Yeah. That's annoying. The spore drive isn't going to be a problem because that's only on Discovery. Because that's just too strong. That was probably one of Discovery's worst problems. In fact, they gave them such an OP move right off the bat. They can go anywhere they want.
Yeah. Teleport to any point in space, you know, instantly. Yeah.
Kevin says he wants a series that's done during the Klingon Wars, which I think is a really good idea. That's prior to Pike's A Strange New World. Mm-hmm. And if we did a Starfleet Academy one, then all of a sudden Starfleet, not only are you trying to be a bastion of hope and teach these kids that, you also got to teach them how to fight in a war. Like we're actually talking wolf, like not wolf, but we're talking about big wars and an endless battle and then setting up a perimeter. And eventually in the series, you'd figure out how to find peace with the Klingons, a war type people. Like that would be interesting to see. And I think through Starfleet, you could do that.
You know, another series that I would love to watch that it would never be made, but I think this would be so cool is a series from the perspective of the Borg as they're forming. So the Borg Queen's, you know, rise to power pretty much. And you would see it from her perspective as her trying to save people and trying to bring together a community where we can all be at one, you know, at peace together and stuff like that. And she's this like kind of white knight hero. And then she eventually, like season three or whatever, she encounters these disgusting humans that just want to destroy and take everything for themselves and liberate her innocent, you know, protected children and stuff like that. Like, that'd be pretty cool.
You'd almost have to really milk out the prequel part of it and make it to where it's all about humanity and like trying to better humanity. And then all of a sudden, like the last act of this whole thing is the turn, like the Daenerys and Game of Thrones. Is the fact that like you realize, oh, she wants to remove their consciousness or add it to hers, quote unquote. And really, she's the one
keep control.
I would like for, okay, if we're going to do that at some point, we need to make sure to add the, what's the Omega particle? Where they're constantly trying to reach that Omega particle as well. That's such a Starfleet staple.
Molecular perfection or whatever. An molecular atom of perfection.
Oh, God, I love Star Trek.
That'd be cool. Yeah. So to stay on Star Trek, we also got some updates on the Star Trek 4 movie has a new director, Steve Yaki.
Yeah.
He's the guy that directed The Flight Attendant and some or all of Supernatural. So at least they have a experienced director already lined up with it.
One of the April Fool's things, too, was TrekCore, which is a Star Trek news website, announced that Star Trek 4 delayed again. They're going to go right to Star Trek 5. There's been so many delays for it, so many different things.
Yeah,
they had a different, but I will say it was a Shackman, Alex Shackman, I believe his name is. He was the first writer for Star Trek 4. The reason he's no longer ready for that is he moved over to Marvel and he's doing Fantastic Four. And he's already said like, I'm making Fantastic Four is inspired by Star Trek. I'm like, you can't sell a movie better to me than saying that right there.
That's the hope. I have one four in my life.
That's good though. So, yeah. So now start. I hope this is good. I mean, I love that Chris Pine crew. What do you think about those movies?
Oh, yeah. They've been phenomenal. Like, just keep it going.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish they would make them faster. I don't want, you know, 4 years or whatever it's been between.
Oh, God. At least 10. It's probably 10 years, John, honestly.
Really?
Since the last one? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Since I'll have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure. But I mean, I like them just because they're definitely the lighthearted version of Star Trek. I mean, it's a really easy Beastie Boys surfing on, you know, in space or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like a Futurama version of Star Trek, but, you know, it's fine. It's a good entry place for people to get them into. And then they discover more. That's how Squeaks got into it.
And I feel like they took, you know, the Star Trek that we love and made it just a little bit more mainstream so that the, like you're saying, the broad audience that isn't used to watching it can still watch it and like it. And then we can watch it and like it, you know, neither side loves it as much as their own type of movie, but at least it can kind of bridge the gap, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they, a smart move, and I think maybe Marvel should learn this lesson, is they made it very clear, like, that's another dimension, essentially. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Spock messed things up. Don't ask questions. It's fine. We can murder everybody in that dimension. You're Kirk, you're Spock, are fine.
Yeah. And that's where, like, that whole Borg series I was talking about. It's like, we don't have to, once we interact with the humans, we don't have to recreate the scenes from, you know, Next Generation or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a different dimension. They might even be different humans that they run into, and yeah, a different captain that they interact with or something like that. But it would be all about the Borg's perspective. You know,
I tell you, you make the Borg sympathetic, you make them against the Dominion humans, the Terran Empire. But the Terran Empire, right? It's the Terran.
Yeah, Terran.
Terran Empire. I'm always Terran saying Empire. Things a little wrong on that. But like those guys, you love to hate them. You know, and Section 31 is starring their Empress, so it would be fine.
Yeah. That's pretty good. That'd be cool. And it could be, in one of the realities, it could be that the Borg got so much bigger, so much more powerful, because in one dimension, they dominated that empire. The Terran Empire, and took all those people, all those strong fighters and stuff like that, into their ranks. Like, it'd be so cool to just see the Borg expanding, and like, oh yeah, go Borg. Oh wait, sorry, you're actually, you know, killing tons of people in the process.
I wonder how many Star Trek fans are tired of the, because I know Kevin's kind of tired of the Borg. I'm not. I literally, my PC's decked out Borg style. I love the Borg, and I'm not tired of them, but I know Kevin is. I wonder if people are kind of tired of that as a villain.
I would be tired of the same story being told about the Borg. You know, and then it's like, oh, we one up them with our humanity and technology they didn't see before, something like that. It's like, well, yeah, that's kind of been rinse and repeat. So that's why I want to see it from their side. Like, you know, I sympathize with Darth Vader kind of thing, or certain other villains. It's like, Magneto's a great example. He's, you know, actually wants to do really good, but he's kind of doing it in a bad way. So he has to simmer down a little bit. But you can easily, you know, sympathize with a good villain like that. So I like villain stories.
I like how Strange New Worlds took the Gorn and are kind of, they change what the Gorn are essentially, but that's kind of their big bad. And it's like, okay, it's this crazy, almost parasitic animal that's out there that they have to avoid. And then of course we know that Kirk runs a long one too, but very different looking, but I do like that they kind of took a familiar name and used that one. That was pretty good as well.
Yeah. A smart way to plug it in. So a little more, we just have a Section 31 movie is moving forward.
It finished filming.
And we found out that the character Rachel Garrett, which was on, she was a captain on Next Generation. Her character is returning in this movie, but she's going to be played, the younger version of her is played by Casey Roll. Sorry. That's my bad handwriting. I'm like, I don't know if I didn't spell that right. No, I just didn't. I wrote it right. I'm just really messy handwriting.
Casey's a super good actor. So one thing I like is if this does well, maybe they can pull her into Pike's universe.
The series,
something like that. Because this, Michelle Yeoh, I've told Thomas, like, oh yeah, Michelle Yeoh's coming back to play. He's like, what? She's like so big. She is big, but when she was kind of in a lull, she was on Star Trek. And so she's still loyal to the brand a little bit. And this was going to be.
But it's cool they can keep building up her character, you know, now that she's, you know, justifiably more expensive. And it's like, okay, but you'll get more screen time. You'll be one of our, you know, top three or four stars in the show, and we'll kind of wrap the show around you a little more. Like, I like how they can do that, build up a character that, you know, their success is earned in the process of growing. Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Section 31 went from a series to a movie, because it's just scheduling now is so hard with her. But she's back in the Pike era now, because she did go with, she went with Discovery into the future, but then took a portal back. It sounds crazy, guys, but they explained it well.
And so she's be out of her dimension and out of her time at the same. She was going to disintegrate or whatever. Yeah.
So if anybody that they establish in this movie can be brought into Strange New Worlds with Pike and crew.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That would be smart to kind of plant the seeds of a lot of good characters and then see which ones really resonate with people and be like, you know what? Yeah, we're going to pull them in, or, you know, introduce their transition into this other world, or into the, you know, joining the crew kind of thing in the end of this movie.
Yeah.
That'd be smart.
I'm looking forward to it, man. I love Star Trek. I wish we could talk about it more often, but it's hard. But I know people have already tuned out because they're like, oh, Star Trek, that's too much to get into. I'm not a fan of it. Just give it a shot, guys.
Yeah. Oh, man. Unfortunately, news does not come very often about Star Trek, too. It's very sparse.
Well, during Star Trek Day, which is going to be this summer, I believe it is. Or it's, late summer. That day is, it's an amazing day for Star Trek fans. It leaves our mind. All right, I'm going to shift over to Marvel revealed a new video game, and it's called Marvel Rivals. John and you, me both play Overwatch, and it's basically Marvel's Overwatch. What are your thoughts on that?
It looks pretty cool. I love the gameplay style of Overwatch. You know, just jump in, pick which character you want. As long as you don't suck too bad like me, then you know, you have a good time. Otherwise, I'm just doing this running back from the gate over and over again.
Yeah,
because I just keep dying. It's a win-win. I mean, it's a good game. If it's similar to Overwatch, then it's a good game.
Yeah.
Fun gameplay and stuff. And you get to play some of your favorite superhero characters or Marvel characters, which is a no-brainer. I'm surprised, you know, a company like Overwatch doesn't pay to license their characters and put them on their game. Like,
yeah, that almost like Smash that seems Brothers like it would make a lot of sense. Just like, hey, we're going to start releasing Marvel characters in Overwatch.
Yeah.
Because really cool. The Overwatch world is so bright and helpful. It's perfect for Marvel to adapt.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I want to try it out. It does look really cool.
Some of the characters that we have, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, they all have different purposes. And they've really pushed, they've been saying it in every bit of their marketing, 6 for 6, which is a really great way of saying, hey, Overwatch fans, you know how you're pissed off about Overwatch? We're bringing it back. Because Overwatch went to a 5v5 thing. There's a little inside baseball, which means one tank. So me and Squeaks are a duo. We always do two tanks. And it really sucked for one of the tanks to go away. And it really changes the dynamics because then somebody's like, oh, I'm going to be a tank that does more damage. That means I'm taking more damage because you're not doing your job well. Well, if they're going to 6v6, it means two tanks. And looking at what we have here, we already know that Doctor Strange is going to be a support. He's creating barriers. He's going to be able to like maybe reverse time and heal wounds. Do you think there's anybody in particular you think is going to be a big tank character? Maybe like a Hulk?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Hulk, is he not lined up in there?
Well, they haven't revealed who's playing what roles. So I'm just thinking of the Marvel characters that we know are here, who could be. Yeah. I think Hulk is pretty good, but
Iron Man too. I think. I mean, as much as he could be DPS, he moves fast and stuff like that. But he's definitely very, you know, tanky also. So I mean, you could even put Iron Man in the Hulkbuster if you wanted to, as like an ultimate or something. Would be cool.
I like
he just
that
like
idea.
Rampages through in the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, I think Groot would be a good tank as well. Like he's creating like maybe these wood walls and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'd see Groot as more of a healer, but yeah.
Trees, like maybe he's planting something that's healing in every
round. He'll make a cocoon around people that they can heal in and stuff.
Yeah. We have Black Panther, Spider-Man, Namor, Rocket Raccoon, Loki. Oh, yeah. One of the things I was pointing out to Thomas, I haven't seen anybody else mention this. Loki seems to be able to take the ultimates, transform into other players. Because we see Loki running around and he becomes Black Panther, who then uses his ultimate to be a big panther. And it was like, that's cool. So Loki's tricking people, thinking, making it seem like he's Black Panther.
Yeah,
that's fun.
That's pretty cool.
So some of the gameplay stuff that we've learned is 6v6. There's going to be synergy amongst the characters. For example, two of the things I've seen so far is Rocket's able to jump on the back of Groot, and then they're able to power each other up, basically spin and do a bunch of firing down every direction.
Nice.
Another one is that Hulk shoots some sort of green energy, gamma radiation, I'm sure, into Iron Man, and that makes him shoot a gigantic green beam in front of him. Mm-hmm. So you're able to team up with your friends and really kind of become a good duo and stronger as a group. I really like the duo there. And then this is so neat, Jonathan. If you hit a wall, the wall comes down. It's a dynamic environment.
I love that. That changes the game so much because throughout the battle, things are changing around you, and that makes a ever-changing game. You don't know what to expect when. And it makes sense. We see it in all the Marvel movies. They go crashing through skyscrapers and stuff like that. They pick up a car and throw it. Now that car is not where it was, you know, it's kind of cool that they can add that into the game.
It's NetEase making this thing, which is not like a super great development company. But I'm like, man, what engine are you guys running that you could have dynamic environments in a free-to-play game that's constantly changing?
Yeah,
that's a big move right there. That's a lot of development time on their side.
And it's got, you know, it's got the Marvel name, so it must have the Disney money behind it, right?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, there's got to be, right. But also for NetEase must have, given a test of like, this is what we could do, a proof of concept. They must have provided a proof of concept to Marvel, and Marvel's like, go for it. So NetEase must have thought like, we can handle this, which is big shooting for them. And this is coming out to PC first, PC only. And then I was saying with NetEase, they're very mobile friendly. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a mobile version at some point. A PC.
I'm hoping this isn't a low budget like wannabe Fortnite competition kind of thing that's gonna aim for getting a bunch of 10-year-olds and just quick cash grab kind of thing, you know.
The format like is very Overwatch and maybe Valorant. So I could see them trying to go for the Valorant kids.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully they put the time and money into making it a quality game.
The big story, the quote unquote story, now these games are, there's a story in the background, not necessarily being played out, is it's Dr. Doom versus Dr. Doom from 2099 fighting each other. And, you know, one, they're basically pitting, you know, their armies together at each other. And then we know at the end that they reveal that Galacta, which is the daughter of Galactus, has only been in like two comic books, is somehow going to be pulling the strings behind everything. So she's super unknown, but she's very anime. And actually one of the heroes, I can't remember her name, but she's very anime too. So I think their target audience might be the Japanese people. And NetEase is a Singapore company. So maybe like they know that the Asian market's going to be their main market because their character design seems to be leaning that way. More Marvel, take a play.
Yep, that's cool. All right, Frank, let's wrap this up with the April watch list. So I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these, though, in between.
Of course.
might take too long. Rebel Moon. Did you watch the first Rebel Moon?
I did watch the first Rebel Moon, yeah.
I watched it. I liked it. I saw the trailers. Really? Okay. I was super excited about it. And then reviews started coming out. People were saying it wasn't as good as they expected and stuff. Finally, I watched it like a month late. And I was like, no, this is pretty good. Not amazing. I'd give it like a B+, though. I would watch it again.
I think I was at a B- on it. I think the visuals are good and the world is really cool.
Yes.
But I didn't like that the story was kind of something we've already seen before, where it's like the Magnificent Seven kind of story.
And it was a little muted. And I saw a TikTok with the I think it was the director saying that he wants to release. Do you remember who directed that?
Zack Snyder.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was. He wanted to release his own cut. And he's like, I don't want to be known for like releasing a Zack Snyder cut of everything. It's like, but you know, you get a script and you have these ideas and you want to make this movie, and then the producers start cutting them back and like, well, hey, we can't do that and we can't show this, and they really kind of box you in on what's going to end up on screen. And you know, I was like, yeah, that's not what I envisioned. So he's like, well, we're going to do it again, pretty much. He wants to release a Zack Snyder cut of that show, of that movie.
I would be interested to see what he thought was not worthy, because when it came to Justice League, I thought it didn't
do much better. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The things I didn't like about Justice League was that it was too dark, and he just kind of made it more dark. And so I wonder if he's, because it is very muted tones in Rebel Moon, and I think a brighter Rebel Moon, because this is the Star Wars movie you pitched to Star Wars, and they said no. Let's see what Star Wars looking for version of it is, where it's not grays and browns, you know?
And really, I think the story would have been amazing as a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
Yeah. Either way, we have part two coming April 19th. So if you guys liked it, it's going to be on
worth a watch.
Now, what I'm going to do, before we move on, before we go too far, also on April 19th, I know you're going to be watching is Welcome to Wrexham. It's going to be on Hulu. Was it season 3 now? And you've told me every time this comes up, like, oh my God, you got to watch it. I have seen, I think it was at your house or our parents' house.
Yeah.
I watched one or two episodes of it. It's not bad. It's a good show. It's the kind of thing that I'd probably want to watch it from the beginning to kind of get involved, invested in the characters and the town and all that stuff. You know,
and it's one of those things. Sometimes when I find a show, I'm like, oh, this is good for Jonathan. And sometimes I find a show that I'm like, oh, this is good for Jonathan and Susan. And it's really hard. You know, Susan's taste is very particular.
Yeah.
Because she's afraid by a lot of things and stuff like that. So this one, I'm like, this is good for the both of them. And it's so far hard to find stuff like that. So I really, again, welcome to Wrexham.
We've been watching Survivor, you know, avidly now too together. Like that's kind of our go. Yeah. Every week we sit down and watch Survivor, which I love because, you know, we grew up watching every season of it. Mm-hmm. And she's liking it so much. I don't know why. I never tried to introduce her to it before, or maybe I have and she wasn't interested, but she likes it so much that we were talking about it the other day. When this season is over, we're going to still continue watching Survivor every Thursday.
Nice.
But we're just going to go backwards in seasons and watch the previous seasons that we haven't seen. So each year we might be able to fit in 4 seasons of Survivors, just watching it once a week. So
that's a good idea.
That's our go-to, but you know, there's more days in the week than just Thursday, so
it would be interesting to see her take on some of the earlier seasons when the game was quite a bit different, you know.
Oh yeah, it seems like it was so much harder in like
season 2 or 3 seasons. They were like legit starving and there was a concern.
I liked the one when they were in Africa and they had to have them surrounded in like 2. Thorn bushes. Was that season 2?
I think that was 2. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
because there's full-on lions out there and stuff they had to worry about. It's like, ah, oh, man, the survival aspect, it shouldn't just be that you're hungry, But surviving should be, I mean, you can't torture these people on TV. Of that's, course. Yeah. You know, obviously, but
that was the problem.
You kind of want to see that they're succeeding because they're working for it so much. They're earning it so much. And sometimes it's like, well, they're starving. I get that. I can't go 4 hours without food, but they're going, you know, 10 days or something. But you can't feel their hunger as much as you could see, like, oh, that's a legit lion across, you know, the pasture, across the desert or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, sorry, not to go too far off on a tangent.
No, I know. I think that's cool, though. Let me know when you guys start looking at other seasons, because I got the Rick Devens one I'd really suggest to you.
Nice.
Okay. Actually, yeah.
But welcome to Wrexham. I'm going to at least have to have her watch a couple episodes and see if that could be another one of our go-to shows.
Start from the beginning. Yep.
Yeah. So one show I'm definitely going to watch because it looks really good is Fallout. It's coming out April 11th on Prime. Are you ready to watch that?
I am. And I tell you, I like how bright and colorful it is. I like that take on a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah. And the post-apocalyptic kind of steampunk vibes that it has, it reminds me so much of BioShock and a lot of other games that, you know, obviously the game that it's based off of. Mm-hmm. But I love that style. I hope, you know, we see more companies making movies that way. It just looks cool. Video game movies in general look so much cooler than all the other movies, I think.
It's got Walter Goggins in it too. I watched that guy do anything. He's so good.
Yeah.
Righteous Gemstones, Vice Principals. He's all kinds of stuff. Justified. Mm-hmm. He's got a really good natural speaking voice. And here he's playing an old Western star that's been alive for a few hundred years after being corroded by nuclear powers or whatever.
Yeah, he's like decaying.
Yeah, he's a ghoul. And so I'm looking forward to seeing him do his thing.
Yeah, he's good.
Well,
Okay, so one I'm probably not going to watch, but I know it's on your list for sure, or at least, you know, on our website, is Knuckles. Are you going to watch that, the new Knuckles?
Okay, so I sat down to watch Sonic 2, because remember we found out that I hadn't watched Sonic 2.
I haven't either.
So I sat down to watch it, and for some reason on Paramount Plus, and I've tried it now on multiple TVs, the color keeps bouncing around like it's messed up. So I am straight up going to order this Blu-ray. I'm going to watch this thing before April 26th when this comes out. And because, I mean, that's Idris Elba playing Knuckles. It's crazy that I haven't seen this.
That's true. I forgot it's Idris Elba. He is amazing.
Yes, he is. So okay, I'll find a way to watch Sonic 2 and then I'll be watching this.
Yeah, I'll have to watch these also because they're an easy movie I could put on when my son's in the room. You know, I can't put on Game of Thrones or something like that. So I'll have to put on Sonic 2 also. I haven't seen that yet. And we'll watch.
You have seen Sonic 1 though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It was good. Yeah. It was good. And I don't know, maybe I'd missed the release of Sonic 2 or something like that. I don't remember when it came out, but it seems like I would have watched it when it came out because
must have been busy. I know. I can't even remember. I assumed I had seen it. And then we were discussing, like, oh, wait a minute. I don't even know that story.
I think a lot of things happened during the pandemic that just.
That's true.
Totally, totally missed.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got for. I mean, we already talked about Star Trek news. Star Trek Discovery.
It's a light month, but I'll double down on Fallout for sure. Welcome to Wrexham for sure. Yeah, definitely. And of course, getting back into Star Trek. I'm excited to get back into a new season of Star Trek. So that's good stuff.
On a separate note, did you hear they're going to do like a bit of a reboot of Jurassic Park or the Jurassic movies, I guess. And they're talking about Scarlett Johansson being the new lead character.
She's amazing. I'm down for that. And we've talked a little bit about it in the past, but they now are saying that Scarlett Johansson is going to be leading this. Mm-hmm. I think she's a big enough name to run it. But what story do you tell? That's the tough part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we don't want to see the same thing. We've talked about this on other stuff, too. Don't just keep repeating the same old story. We need something totally fresh.
They have the original screenwriter on this. So maybe he has an idea. He's been cooking it for a while. Maybe he's got an idea for something. But
I think I'd kind of like to see something like, you know, the Jurassic Park failed, Jurassic World, you know, they got out everywhere. And this is like 100 years later. So she's an adult that was born in a small community that's surviving amongst dinosaurs. And then, you know, something happens. Their community's practically destroyed. And now she's on the run and she has to try to survive, you know, in the wild, not much protection, trying to find a way to, you know, maybe find another tribe or settle or make peace with dinosaurs, and now she can ride T-Rexes. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, you know what we need is Dinotopia. You remember those old picture books when we were kids? Dinotopia coloring? Or not coloring books, but their picture book. Oh my God, I loved them. It was a world where it was like Middle East, I think, was the kind of like human history level. but it was with dinosaurs the entire time. Oh man, I remember loving them. And yeah, so maybe something like in the, it's gone a few years and now dinosaurs are just integrated into our society 100%. I don't know where the drama comes in, but you know,
like Flintstone style.
Flintstones, essentially. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Dinotopia, like guys. If you're an old millennial like myself, you'll remember those. Those are classic.
Well, we're going to be seeing the Ark movie, right? Movie or TV show based on the game Ark?
Oh, God. Who knows?
It's one of those two.
I'm so disappointed by that franchise now.
Oh, really?
Vin Diesel got involved. I think he bought the rights or something like that. And he's just really Vin Dieseling things up right now. So I'm a little, we'll see.
Fast and the Furious on dinosaur back.
That's me, family. I'm all about the family of my dinosaurs.
Jesus.
The story for Ark, though, is a very good story because the idea is that you'd wash up on a beach not knowing what's going on, realizing there's dinosaurs, figuring out how you could tame them. You know, it does become cool.
Yeah. All right. We'll hope Scarlett Johansson does good with this whole new Jurassic series.
I'm down. I like that we're bringing back some of these classics, Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff like that. Let's just make sure they feel original and I'll be good to go.
Yeah. Spend the money and time on some good writers for all this stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for us this week, guys. Again, as for the network, please go check out Challenge Accepted. We're going to be talking about all A24 stuff. We're also reviewing every episode of X-Men 97, which is, it's a never miss. It's really good. We have an interview with Alex Schumacher this week talking about his brand new book, The Effects of Pickled Herring. It's a very heartwarming book, beautifully written, wonderful. It's a graphic novel, so everybody, all ages can read it comfortably. Over on Who's Got Next Game podcast, they're doing the Wii tournament. Is your favorite Wii game in the tournament? Let's go over there and find out. And then over on Outlast podcast, we're on episode 6 already of this season's Survivor. Episode like 600 of whatever, 52 or whatever, overall, it's pretty nuts. But we're at the merger point. So if you're wanting a time to jump in, this is the time to jump in. So it's the merger point. This is when the game gets serious. We lost the person everybody disliked last episode, so we're okay there too. So yeah, check out everything, guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.